and good Friday morning. It is Friday, September the 14th, 2018, 16 minutes past the hour. This is Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and myself, and today very special guest, Thunderbolt Patterson. Pastor Whitaker, how are you?
I'm doing great this morning.
We're here for another Friday.
How are you doing, Thunderbolt? Good to see you again, buddy.
Heaven high, sir. It's an honor to be here with you this morning. I'm so glad to be back in Ohio.
Well, I'll tell you what, you just threw me for a loop. You took your hat off, and I've never seen you without it.
Well, is that right?
You guys got a lot of hair, more than I do.
Well, God's been good. God's been good
to your head.
God's been good.
Good to your head anyway, right?
Period. Period. Yeah.
It's all in those jeans.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, but you know, it's interesting. The last week, we had a very good show on Friday morning. We talked about ethics, and we got into a lot of conversation about that, and we said we would continue that conversation today. And I do think that ethics are important, and I've noticed our lack of ethics.
Oh, my.
Awful.
You know, it's kind of interesting. It's so easy to slip into political debate when you have these discussions. And something I just mentioned in our conversation a few minutes ago was the fact that with all these ethical issues, we can sit there back and forth on two different sides of the fence politically and go tit for tat back and forth. Well, your candidate did this, or your people, you believe this, and but you did this, and it can go on for days. And the thing is, the truth of the matter is that we need to be centered on what is right, and it's real easy to find wrong in this world. You know, something that is hard for me, I'm not only a pastor, but I am a chaplain, and I'm an EMT with a fire department. And because of that, I'm exposed on three different levels, at least, to things that are very disturbing in America. Children that have been left aside by their parents. I went to a house one time, and this wasn't, I won't suppose expose any fire department information. This was had nothing to do with the department. But I went to a house one time, and the kids had nothing. There was no refrigerator. The kids had nothing. There was a candy wrapper on the floor where they got them a candy bar, and the parents were shooting up. And you see this, and you see these kids. I got to tell you, folks, there's an epidemic of this. I had a little boy one time in Bibles come to Bible school, 10 years old, and he came with a family member, and he told me that his mommy liked the fact that when she was real shaky, he could clean her syringes for her. And here we are, and many times debating over which one of our politicians is the worst ethically and morally. And quite frankly, God tells us that without God, we all struggle in that ethical and moral area. I'm going to give you a second, but then I have a scripture passage I want to read in a minute, or unless you'd like me to read it now.
Go right ahead.
Okay. This is I love this scripture, and you're probably familiar with this, Mr. Patterson. It's Proverbs chapter 11. Now, folks, just take a second and take this in as I read it, because it there's so much wisdom in it. Says, dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. Isn't that a true statement about the wickedness? How many times do you see people destroyed by wickedness? How many times do you see people destroyed from being good and being right? You don't. And then it says, the righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their own lust. When a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered. And that passage goes, that's Proverbs chapter 11, but it goes on and on, and it really tells the story about ethics as I see it. There's so much going wrong, and boy, can we point it out. But think about this, and let's talk about this a minute if we can. If each one of us aspired to do what was right, aspired to look at in the mirror and see someone they could live with, could you imagine how the debate might change? Be interesting, wouldn't it?
Well, it's interesting, and I want to get Thunderbolt in on this, but it's interesting because what I have noticed is, and we talked a little bit about this last week. Now, I do think people who do wrong sometimes don't realize they are doing something wrong. I think those moments do happen. And they think, well, I probably shouldn't have done that. They go back and think, I should have done it a different way. But there are also people who do things and know exactly that they're doing it wrong. They're doing it for possibly vindictive reasons. They're doing it possibly for financial gain. They're doing it possibly for a lot of reasons, and they know about it. And the argument that bothers me in that, I am willing to forgive anybody as long as I think they truly are remorseful for what they have done. But where I come in ethical is when people say, well, we shouldn't even pay attention to their ethical problems because of A, B, C, or D. I don't understand that, because I would think at some point, I understand you might. If you have a best friend, let me put it in these terms. If you have a best friend and your best friend was doing something unethical, I hope you would take him aside and say, listen, you're my friend.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
We talked about that last week. Yes.
Yeah, but I don't think that is happening with
certain. I agree.
At all.
Yeah.
See, first of all, we got to get some understanding. And what people understand is what they've been through, what they've heard, what they've seen, what they've read, and what they've been taught. There's no family no more to put the moral stock to even
foundation
to even try to get the understanding of it's all in the book. It's all in the book. But we don't try to get the understanding, because most people can't get it, because it just, we're just having a little technical. Everything's all right now, y'all. Ready? Okay.
No technical question.
So many things has happened so long ago. I mean, we're talking about this world now. You know, we're just caught up in parts of it. And we're leaning on our own understanding or how we feel towards people and individuals. And there's so much corruption that has went on intentionally to break things down, to hold people down, suppress people. People can't get no understanding when they're being taught wrong, believing in, say they believing in one thing. That's one thing that we've got to understand, and we've got to understand it now, because I believe that we have time, but I believe that God is on his way. And if we don't come together as people now, and try to get some understanding. You got too much dividing and conquering, too much hate going on. All that stuff has been on for thousands, years and years of breaking down. I mean, Look, they're talking about going to the moon and all those things. We're talking about gold. We're talking about things that deal with your body that you don't even know nothing about. Of how, I mean, it's so deep. And the politicians and the preachers, they are the ones that is leading, is supposed to be leaders. And they are the one that people are trying to listen to and follow. But people are getting mixed messages.
Across
the board. When something is right or done for a righteousness, there's always a hater somewhere trying to tear it down or bring it down. And there's so many people that we do and have done things out of, we're creatures of habit. Why you do this? Grandmama used to do it. Why you do that? Granddad used to do it. That's been passed down to us. And then we're going to say, well, I don't hate, or I don't do this, or I don't do that. Well, we'd be just lying.
Well, you know, Thunderbolt, it's kind of interesting. One of the hard things for me, and this is something I have to be honest, I've really been wrestling with the last few weeks, partly because of our conversations that we've been having here and thinking about some things. Really wrestling hard, not too hard, because I give it to God and then he gives me some peace. But the truth of the matter is, as I look, when I was a young man, young teenager, I became the, just out of attrition of the kids that didn't want to do it, the vice president of the Ohio American Youth Party. And that was a third party that was going on at that time. And it was the first time I ever heard in this term, the lesser of two evils. And they always claimed that all we had to vote for was the lesser of two evils, and they wanted to be the party that weren't, that was the other. But here's the thing. What I'm getting at is this, is that because of our ethics and how they have fallen apart, we have gotten to that point. Now, someone will say to me, they'll say, Pastor, how can you support A candidate or B candidate? This one's so corrupt. And I look over here and I see this one's so corrupt, and I got to do one of two things. I got to make a decision. Either I look at the bigger picture of what they say they'll support and won't support, or I look at the bigger picture, and so that I have some form of voice from my own voting ability, I have to make a decision. Does that mean that I approve of of their ethics? No. Does that mean that they would be one of my confidants? No. Does that mean, but I have a hard time finding that out there. And that's why I say that we have to go back to biblical morality and ethics and follow it and understand, because just like those things we just read, it says, what will happen to the upright and to the humble? They'll find peace. And corruption never does.
Yeah, but they want all spirituality, biblical. All those things, they wanted to get rid of them. They made lies and done things to bring that down. They've been doing that all along. I mean, we got to get some understanding just now. I mean, for ourselves. I don't care if you got two bad apples, are you going to eat either one of them?
No.
Okay, then. Get rid of them. Get something else.
It's something
and somebody that want to be right.
But let me ask you a question. Scott brought this up last week. We were talking, and he was talking about someone that had someone in politics that had done something wrong. And
one hasn't?
Well, right, but they had paid penance. They asked forgiveness. And the question is, why don't we forgive anyone? When we had that discussion, Scott said, you know, someone comes to me in repentance, he can forgive. But then we're the first people in the world to bring up something they did 10 years ago.
But look. God forgive us. God is the one that forgive us when we do things and we are sincere and say we don't want to, we didn't mean to do them. But you cannot continue of doing things or letting things go on and saying that I'm a good person or I'm a Christian or
I'm a Buddhist. They become exposed.
But hey, just because people doing it ain't right. We're trying to be more God-like. We're trying to get ourselves to get some. We're trying to be able to get some understanding and be able to dialogue and talk about everything. Now, if we talk about things that has happened, that everyone knows has happened, and you're going to get, excuse me, Lord, pissed off about it. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then, or change it, or try to add something else to it, or don't give the proper what it means. See, because we can sit and read this book and read it and get different understandings about different things. But God is so big, we can't even start. He tried to put it together from the get-go and whatever, but man brought it down.
And we'll continue to
look out now. They're going to go their way. What they say, you're going to get caught up or you're going to be left behind.
When I just read that in Proverbs, it gave us an option, didn't it?
And in Proverbs, and see, if more individuals, young men and young women, would get into that Proverbs and be taught right about it and what's going, what that proverb was meant for, and get some understanding about it, we wouldn't have as much as what's going on there. And if we didn't have the people, the politicians, and the preachers of guiding people for, I want you, follow me. Hey man, why can't we follow Jesus? He's a creator.
Here's an interesting one. I think I was thinking about this yesterday and talking with a friend of mine as we were traveling, and we were talking about, you know, people that have a hard time forgiving other people, and they just give up on somebody. I give up on them. But you know what's interesting? Ask them this question. What if God said tomorrow, I give up on you?
Let me tell you something, man. Sometimes, you got to give up on self.
Wait a minute.
It's not that you hate something or whatever. You don't like what an individual does. I mean, if I got my child, I love my kids. But if they do wrong, I can't stand with them. But only so far. And I got to tell them that they're wrong, and let them know. And if you allow that to go on, it's you just as much at fault as they are.
I agree. And, you know, it's one of those things where you're not doing anyone any good by allowing that to continue to go on.
Right,
because what
right.
you're doing is telling them, in essence, that it really is okay, and my beliefs aren't quite what I say they are because...
Right, and see, that's one of the biggest problems with this country and the world. How much stuff have we tolerated? That we know that is wrong, but I got to have, or I need to have, or it's about that money, or it's about that status, or about this. Hey, come on now.
It's something interesting has happened as of late, and I see this happening all the time, and I don't understand it, because people do back people, or people do like certain people, and that's fine. You can like whatever you want. But the problem I have noticed is now, okay, people have made a choice. Well, we all make choices in life.
Right.
And then we find out something bad about somebody. Now, their immediate reaction to something bad is, well, let's point something bad out about somebody else, and that'll make their bad right.
Exactly.
I don't understand that.
Well, I think it's just what I was talking about a few minutes ago, that tit for tat. People don't look... It bothers them because they know that their person has these problems, and they got to justify that somewhere.
They have to justify.
And the typical reaction from the beginning of time is that you point something out, I do, and to make myself feel better, I point out something you do. Well, they just transfer that over to the person they support. And the truth is, no one's. I have a problem with using broad terms sometimes, but most are not demanding ethics anymore. I brought up this on a few shows ago. You guys, you remember Gary Hart?
Oh, yeah.
Gary Hart.
Gary Hart, he was a Democratic candidate for president, and he got caught on a boat called the monkey business, of all things, and her name was, what was the girl?
Jessica Hahn.
No, that wasn't Jessica Hahn.
That wasn't Jessica Hahn?
No,
that
no,
was
no.
the one who was caught with the preacher, right? Jessica Hahn got caught with Baker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, this young lady, they got caught. They didn't get caught doing anything. They were on a boat together. You know, they didn't get caught in any weird act, but it immediately destroyed his candidate because the people said, ethically, we're not taking that from a president. Now, this was just about 30 years ago, maybe 35 years ago.
Yeah.
Today, people would say, that's his business, leave him alone. And the difference is that's how far we have stopped demanding ethics from those around us, in the pulpit.
We have stooped to the low standards of what they have set for what they want to be. I mean, in other words, what you're saying is that if people want to do wrong, that's their business. I mean, I can't hate them. I love everybody.
What's interesting?
But if people are continually doing wrong, just look, it's all in the book. It's all in the history books. Just look at what all of these countries has done to the world and how it melded it to, and all the wrongness has come together. Of trying to defeat anything and anybody that stands for anything, and nobody's perfect.
It's kind of interesting. Bible passages, people that, especially in a secular world, they don't remember many Bible passages. But there's one piece of one passage that I hear a lot thrown back at me. The Bible says not to judge. Okay, that particular passage says this: judge not lest you be judged by the same mark in which you judge.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what that is saying is, if you're going to speak out against what someone's doing, make sure you got a clean house. Make sure that your house is clean. And I try to explain to people as a pastor, it is my duty to tell you what God says is right or wrong. That's not me judging you. I'm sharing with you God's word and what he says.
Right, absolutely. Say,
that's not judging anybody. The point is, I think that we have to, the only way to point out a right to somebody is to point out that right and to show them many times why something's wrong. I believe that God ultimately changes the heart when you give your life to him, and you begin to recognize wrongs that you didn't realize were wrongs before.
Right.
And
right. If you don't renew your mind, humble yourself, and what David, can create me a new heart, right? Okay, if you don't try to renew your mind and be willing to accept a change and humble yourself and love instead of hate, you're hurting yourself. You ain't hurt nobody. You're going to hurt yourself. But there's so many people in the world or in the United States that just don't care. I mean, they're just big liars.
That actions. Self-serving person. It's that person that they're ultimate. You know, we talked about this a few weeks ago about how ultimate power corrupts. And it is hard to be in a position of power and not to let corruption sneak in.
Because, not if you're right.
Well, because many times pride sneaks in, and we just read before the fall.
But see, that pride and that fear and that jealousy and that hate, all them things buckle together.
Absolutely.
And those are the things. Those are the things that I don't get, regardless of what go on. You do right, God's gonna take care of you.
Absolutely.
But if you do wrong, hey, you got to pay for it. You don't leave here without paying a price.
There's a universal law that God has of truth and untruth, right and wrong. And I believe the ultimate love in the world, the ultimate love is truth.
It's truth.
If I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth.
The truth, right, right.
And it's just like, for instance, a parent will, if a child goes to touch a hot stove, Which today they make stoves so they can't. But anyway, right. They used that saying came around right. Where there used to be a hot stove. When a child goes touch a hot stove, the parent grabs them and may even smack their hand mm-hmm. and say, no, you're going to get hurt because they don't want them to get burnt.
Right.
Today we're told, be quiet and let them touch the stove.
Well, see the. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, no, this is interesting because just a quick update, just so we have it was Donna Rice.
Thank you, I knew. You know what? Here's something interesting about Donna Rice.
What's that?
Where she went from that in the future. And that name was right there. It just wouldn't come.
Yeah.
Donna Rice went on to head a group, a coalition, I'm not sure it was, that lobbied in Washington for for clean television, for clean movies,
and
for ratings and all those things. And interesting about her, the reason she did all that, Thunderbolt, you'll appreciate this, I know, is she gave her life to Christ and turned her life completely over to doing what was right.
Those are things that when you give your life to Christ, the things that you used to do, you don't want to do no more. You grow. And that is the thing that makes this thing so bitter and dark, because I'm talking about it's scholars, it's leaders, it's the power of the way individuals think and do, stinking thinking, mistreating individuals for of color, for what reason, and how many percentage of those individuals sit Sunday morning or in church or is in politics or on the bench, or you understand what I'm saying? But I want to make one thing clear. There is good people. There are good people, but there are bad people that are trying to tear down the temple of Christ. And they don't care about individuals because they care about themselves, and it's all about their dollar, money, prestige, standard, and controlling.
You know,
and don't want no change.
You know, Thunderbolt, I was with a man one time, and I won't divulge his name. It's not important. But I was with a man, and I'm with a lot of people at the end of their life, in their last moments and right up to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And this man had lived a very self-serving life. He'd done some amazing, fun, neat things. You know, I could sit with he was very ill, and I could sit with him for hours and listen to his adventures. Mm. But when he came down to those last days and those last moments, he was broken. And he said, I know that God put me here for a reason. And I never stopped to think or to see what it was. And it was eating him alive.
You know, you see, man, I mean, hey, nothing but Jesus. We all have a purpose. We all have a purpose. And that purpose was not meant to harm nobody or disrupt nothing. That purpose was made to glorify God.
Let me ask you a question, Thunderbolt.
Yes, sir.
If you're a Christian and you believe that your ultimate goal in life being here on this earth is to walk with God, is to serve God and to lead people to his amazing grace and truth and lead them ultimately to him. Where is there any room for being mean-spirited, for hate, for being unkind? There is no room, is there? How in the world are you going to lead anyone to a loving God with a nasty countenance?
But are they doing it?
Huh?
What's happening, though?
Some are. You are.
Well, I mean, say that again.
You are. You're not being nasty. I mean, you're.
No. What I'm saying is, there's so many people that want to be leaders, that has a flock and followers, and got a little bit more sense than we do. And don't you think they know? Don't you think they know they're leading the wrong way? Do they care?
I fear that in the pulpits many times today we're more concerned about numbers and dollars coming in than we are telling the truth and being honest.
But see, those are those are the numbers and dollars is all in everything. Go to politician.
Goes right back to this passage I just was.
So you understand what I'm saying? If we are not able to get some clear understanding, the ones that, what God, what he say? Oh, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. They made a mistake by nailing him to the cross. But we have a choice, and we got to make a quality decision instead of the decisions that we've been making. Those decisions that we've been making have proven that they got a little holes in them and a little something in them that ain't quite right. So, I mean, and no one's perfect because, like myself, I'm running for governor myself. I want to help people. I mean, I ain't got nothing but
you
Jesus.
You got a message. And
I got, I got Jesus and a testimony. I got my testimony. You hear what I'm saying to you?
Exactly.
I got a testimony. One day, and soon, I'm going to tell the whole story.
I can't wait to hear it. Scott, yes, sir.
Well, I want to do it at your church.
Well, there we
go. You can do that. I was going to ask you 2 minutes ago when you're talking about white folks in the church and black folks in the church and people not wanting people. You know what? I'd love you to come and speak sometime. So
I'm a minister. I'm ordained. I got my license.
I don't care if you're licensed. Well, God's the one that ordains you, not
all right. We live in this United States. Look how many of them preachers up in there. They ain't got no license. Got license. I mean,
all that license does is give us the
that's just like marriage.
Marriage.
Okay. So we got to get some understanding about this whole thing. And you know, I mean, like me, I didn't even finish school, but I got a PhD degree in life. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Let's let Scott have some input here.
Oh, okay, go ahead, Scott.
This is just. I think this show has dovetailed nicely with ethics and where we started out. Because here's what I think has happened in the United States. This is just where I'm going to dial it back here. Because we started talking about forgiveness of people, which, great. And I don't know if we do enough of that. And then we did talk a little bit about Gary Hart. But the interesting thing about Gary Hart is, there's no doubt in my mind, in 1988, had that not happened, his little monkey business thing there with the woman,
he'd have been president.
He certainly would have been the nominee, probably would have been president. But back then, even his own party said, you got to get out.
Absolutely.
You got to get
out. They did.
Now, here's what happened today. And this is the lesser of two evils. This is right where we started.
Yes,
in politics today, and in other places too, but this Gary Hart was a politician.
Yes.
In 1988, that didn't fly, even within his own party. In 2018, 30 years later, not only can you do things like that, but you can be rewarded for things like that. And that's the problem. I don't understand the reward. I forgive anybody who does. I forgive Gary
Absolutely.
Hart. I forgive Absolutely. Any. If they truly are sorry,
right.
I forgive them.
Right.
But the problem now is the fear, and people had their own person. They thought, well, if we put Gary Hart in this position, people will stay home and we will lose. They lost anyway, but that was worse. Now, people don't stay home.
Here's the problem, Scott, that I struggle with, and I'm glad you mentioned this, because I was just reading before I came in this morning one of my college texts. It's on ministerial ethics, and it talked about how today we have a little bit more of a dilemma ethically than one of the things I was reading than we did years ago, and that is this. In America, we need to vote. I truly believe we need to exercise our right to vote. And when our candidates have no moral platform to stand on themselves, and we see these horrible flaws, and we have the lesser of two evils, you know, what I'll ask you this. What is a Christian supposed to do?
This is what shocked me, because this would have been my answer to in any of those situations. And there have been a few. There's not just one person. There have been a few who had these proclivities. What I thought would happen is, I didn't think that the people who support candidate A, who may have some salacious past, I didn't think that they would vote for the other person, because I don't think they believed what the other person believed in. But I didn't think they'd vote for that person. But they did.
Did they have?
But that's
I thought the option was that people, you know, other people do run. We did have other people running who I don't think people researched at all. I'll tell you what our governor of Ohio did. He wrote in the name John McCain. He said he did that because he could not morally, he certainly wasn't going to vote for Hillary, but he couldn't morally vote for the other person. And that's what happened.
You're on top of it. I come up here before that, and I told you almost them same words. I didn't vote. And if you don't vote, you don't count. Everybody needs to register and need to vote. I didn't vote. Because the electoral votes, Hillary won. Do you hear what I'm saying?
No, that was the popular vote. She lost.
She won those. She won that. But regardless of all of the corruption that was brought up, Trump's stirred that pot, bought up what others had done, been doing for the years, what he had done, and what they're still doing. And anybody in office, should they be at that mentality of trying to bring people not together? That's not bringing people together. All of that was dividing people. Words, what they done, say,
you're right. and was dividing.
And
here we are. Here we are back on a tit for tat with politics again. And my comment on this, you know, I know Hillary made the statement that if she was indicted, that she could probably bring down 3/4 of Washington with her. So here's the point.
So that's what that's telling you.
That's exactly right.
I think that's what our governor thought. He thought, well, I can't vote that way either.
But here's the problem with that, Scott, and what the dilemma was for the Christian community is that when they're looking at this and that, they're saying that, look, if I vote for this person, there's no way they're gonna win. So I'm conceding it to this person if I don't. And that's the other part of that dilemma.
But
I think what should have been done from the very beginning, if you're a Christian, okay, I know you're jumping to speak, Patterson. He's going to jump out of his chair over here.
I ain't going to jump out of my chair, but I got something to say.
Here's where we come back to personal responsibility. As a person, and you're entering the electoral situation, you know that it's a voting year. You know, you see all. I think they had 12 up on the Republicans. I don't remember how many Democrats. But I think that what we need to do is we need to take the time and look at each individual candidate and vote for the candidate that we can morally and honestly say is probably the most ethical person that we can vote for.
An important part here, I just want to make sure to get this in. The only state our governor won in the primary process was Ohio.
But let me say this to you, too. And if I would have voted, that's who I would have voted for. Because, listen to this, everybody got a lot to do. But he done more for this state than he sure wasn't left wing. He sure wasn't doing it the wrong way. He got everything in place. All we got to do is come together and do what we need to do. We can't worry about what are other people doing.
You know what's interesting, though, and I want to turn to the pastor on this, because I think this is a fascinating show. This has really turned into a fascinating show.
They usually do.
They do. They're good discussions. But it's interesting because we did have a weird election last time, and we are alluding to that in a way. But here's the interesting thing, because it does come down to, you know, if you don't vote, you don't count, like Thunderbolt said. Okay, here was the dilemma that people were faced with last election. Christians, as you said, Pastor, that we don't want to vote for Hillary because we don't believe what she believes. The guy we're voting for, we might not agree with his ethics either.
Yeah, stomach.
And, yeah, there you go. But and our governor, but don't vote for a third party. Don't write somebody in because you're throwing away your vote. But interestingly, if you just took that idea, that take the lesser of two evils, right where we started. I'm going to vote for the person. I'm going to turn out. I'm a registered voter. I'm going to turn out, and I'm just going to vote for the person I can stomach the best. If everybody in this country had lived to that philosophy, Hillary Clinton would have been elected, because it was the Democrats who stayed home last election. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if we had applied that to the last election, Hillary Clinton would be our president. And that's an interesting thing, because there was a group at that time, and it was called the Never Trump Movement, that was in the Republican Party, who either voted for Hillary or stayed home. Mm-hmm. And there were Democrats who stayed home because of the whole Bernie Sanders blow up. Mm-hmm. If Democrats had turned out and just said, I can't stand Trump, but I'm going to plug my nose and vote Hillary, even though I think she's the lesser of two evils in their situation, Hillary Clinton would be president.
Yes. So a lot of them did. I don't know that we know what people's real motives were.
I think 70,000 would have turned out.
What you can see, you can see. You can see what happened. You can see what happened.
But here we are. Here we are having a political debate about what's going on in voting. And the point I'm trying to get back to, and have started since the beginning of our discussion on the show when I read Proverbs chapter 11, was, folks, you made a point at the beginning of the show that was right on target. You said that you believe that, you know, the Lord's coming is sooner than later, but however, we do have some time to still do what's right.
Got time.
And I firmly believe, as a pastor, that I hate to say that indecency is Groots, but quite frankly, in our country today, it's becoming a grassroots movement if you're going to do it. Because everybody puts the dollar ahead of everything. They worship sports. Sports is the new idol in America. And everyone says, don't look in my closet. Yours is just as bad or worse. If we come back to the fact of, I, Pastor Steve Whitaker, am going to do what is morally and ethically right every day of my life, and I choose to do that, couldn't we see a huge turnaround in everything?
Yes, we could, sir. But you know what? When they look at grassroots, they don't look at grassroots as people that has no sense, no capability, no wanting to do, get up and go. It's individuals that we can tell what to do. Whatever they say. Now, you see it's going on right now. Whatever he says, that's what they want you to believe. You ain't got sense enough to understand what has happened and what is being said for yourself.
People don't take the time today.
Well, I shame on them.
Dick Gregory made the point in the last show that I was listening to, the old archive. He said, look, folks, he says, how hard is it? Just Google it. And he's got a point. But you know what? Even if you Google it, you better scroll down to the second and third page. Don't just take the first story at the top of Google and buy it. You got to go on down. And the thing is, if you're concerned about an issue, you could be concerned enough to do an honest research, but look for, as Scott said, something that agrees with what you said.
I think this is very important, because here's what I think, because this has been interwoven. Here's what I think are the times we live in have caused and are going to cause in the near future, in the next 60 days. I think you are going to see a lot more people, because one of the things we've all said today is if you don't vote, you don't count, and if you vote for something that there's no possibility of, it's going to be... I don't think we're ever going to be faced with the lesser of two evils again, because I am seeing things all over this country that should not normally be happening. There are people beating 12-term incumbents in primaries. There are people with less money in their campaign beating other people because people are finally saying, well, I don't think that's right, so I'm going to find something better. And and it is a Democrat in Texas, and this is not an endorsement, but one of the things I thought was interesting was this guy has his party's nomination down there and is close in the polls in the Senate seat, and he has a prison record. People are starting to forgive that.
Is enough enough?
Well, I've often
said... Is enough enough?
Exactly.
Well, okay. Do you think we're at that point?
We got about 4 minutes.
Sorry. Okay, go ahead. We're good. I'm good. That's all I got to say.
Well, it's like I said on the last show or a couple of shows ago, there's a whole lot of people who would have prison records if we all had the same amount of money.
Exactly.
Quite frankly, I'm a firm believer in forgiveness, and Jesus Christ gave us the ultimate forgiveness. Amen. And like you said earlier, Scott, if someone forgives and repents of what they've done, I want them to come back here with a clean slate. I truly do. Amen. And people every day of the week, there are people in powerful positions that everyone loves that will, when it comes to finances and things, commit felonies, but they've got great lawyers. And I know that's not popular. Maybe it is a norm. I don't know. But the point is, so what?
We can talk on that in a little bit.
I bet we can.
We'll save that one.
Let's save that one.
Yeah, because we ain't got enough time to deal with that now.
Next week. But what this show showed today, I think, was you have three people, and I don't really think this is what should be happening. Conversation. Viewpoints, dialogue, think tank is what they used to call it. And I think that's what this show on Friday morning does.
Yes.
I agree. I would agree.
It's fascinating. And I hope the audience learns as much as we learn. And we'll be back next Friday.
Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, absolutely.
See you guys in church Sunday.
All right. Absolutely. Take care. Be there.
You're going to be there sometime soon.
Well, I was intending to be there this Sunday.
Oh.
I mean, just I don't have to come and preach. I want to hear you tell the word.
Attend.
You know, right? That's all I was just going
to. More than welcome. 209 East Water Street.
We really.
1030, Prospect, Ohio.
I'm going to bring.
I'll come along.
Come with me. We're going to start. Listen to me. If we don't stand on the word and get some understanding, and you can say whatever they want to say, you can follow wherever you want to follow. But I'm going to follow Jesus right now, and I'm going to stand on that. And whatever he tells me to do, that's what I'm going to do.
Amen.
Because I've had time to look the whole situation over and been down for a long, long time with no one caring other than him, because he's the only one that has kept us through all that we went through. But he got so much more for us. If we understand.
And that wraps it up for this week. Absolutely. We'll be back next week. Central Baptist Church would like for you and your family to join them for worship service Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. Central Baptist Church is located at 2816 Marion Waldo Road. Marion Midget Football will kick off its 46th season on Sunday, September 16th. Marion Midget Football is a